Okay, good. Vacher Bosei, today's daf is Yuma daf Mem Aleph, and we're here four lines into Mem Aleph. Mem Aleph at the Amar Rav Chista, that's where we'll start today. If you remember, yesterday we left off, the last thing we said, pretty much, was a drasha, a brisa that we quoted, or a sifra, really, in the name of Rabbi Yehuda, and that said, basically, that Hagoral Osachatas Ve'en Hashem Osachatas. We learned that the lottery by the Seer, right, the Seer HaZazel, the Seer HaMishtaleach, and the Seer LaShem, right, by the Shtei Seerim, so the lottery is what designates one for the other, right? That's how we know which goat is assigned for which. In other scenarios of halachas, we're about to see in 1 second, so certain designations of animals for korbanos happen at different times, and the Gemara is going to try and ask a question from a different context, and see exactly, you know, when and how and why something should be designated at a certain time. So the Gemara says, Amar Rav Chisda says that Ein hakinim hamisparshos ela obalakichas bailim obasias kohen. So a lot of words here that need explanation and clarification. First of all, what is a kin? A kinim, what is that? So it's not lice, like you may have made a knee-jerk reaction from the Makos. A kin, lashon of shiluach hakin, or alkan sipora giagiu rachamecha. A kinin is a pair of birds, and this is a pair of birds that was offered as a korban sometimes, in certain scenarios, or usually when a person was too poor to afford a full animal. Let's say a woman who gave birth who was too poor to bring a proper animal, or a metzora who was poor as well. So there are certain scenarios where you would bring a pair of birds. Now those pair of birds, one is a korban chatas and one is a korban ola. Right, again, that's important, and the distinction is important for several reasons. One of them being that the way that those korbanos were offered was different. That the sprinkling of the blood of the ola went on top of the mizbeach, for example, on above the red line in the middle, and the blood of a chatas went underneath. And obviously, if you switch those around, that's a big problem. Right, a lot of that the Mishnais and Kinim talk about that as well. So anyway, so basically, when do we declare the birds to be either a korban ola or korban chatas, right? When do we designate which one, right, is which, right? You have a pair of animals. One is an ola, one is a chatas. Similar to our case by the Seer LaZazel, we have a pair of goats. One is Lashem, one is LaZazel. When do you designate those birds to be what they are? So Rav Chisda says, only, right, Misparshas, they only are designated b'lakichas b'ilim when the owner takes them and designates them. Then, oh, Basias Kohen. Or when the Kohen actually, right, gets the birds and kind of is taking care of it and says, all right, now we're going to designate them one as the other. Meaning the owner has an opportunity, has a choice. Either he can designate them or he can bring them to the Kohen and say, hey, here's two birds, and the Kohen will designate it for him. So Amar Rav Shimi Bar Ashi, my Tamar Rav Chisda, what's Rav Chisda's logic? The pasuk says, "V'lakcha ve'asa." Right, there are two psukim by these birds. It says, "V'lakcha shtei storim o shnei bnei ona echad leolav v'echad lechatas." Okay, that's the pasuk in Parshas Shmini. Then it says later on, "V'asa hakohen esha again by the mitzora ve'asa hakohen esha echad lechatas ve'asa lechad olav." So v'lakcha shtei sorim is referring to the baal, the owner, when he takes it, right? Ve'asa, that's referring to the kohen, right? As the pasuk says, ve'asa ha-kohen, right? He can also designate them as well. So either the Gemara learns, o b'lakicha, o be'asiya, right? Whether when they're when they're taken, when they're bought, when they're designated, or be'asiya, or when the kohen is doing the actual korban. The Gemara says, 1 second, Meisvei, hold on, ask you a question. And what do we just say? V'asa ochatas, right? What does that pasuk teach me? That's hagoral ozechatas ve'in hashem ozechatas, right? That the lottery by the shnei seirim, by the two goats in Yom Kippur, the lottery makes one into a korban chatas, but the shame, but speaking, just saying this is a chatas, doesn't. What sheyachol? Because you might have thought, you might have thought that the logic would dictate otherwise. Just like in a place where there's no lottery, but designating it by calling it as a name, like here, by the case of the birds, right? There's no lottery by birds. So when you designate it with your mouth, you say, this is an ola, this is a chadah, so that works. So makam shekidesh agoral, and then shekidesh hashem. So certainly, if you can use a lottery, right, by the two birds, you cannot use a lottery. And calling it by its proper name, that's going to designate it as whatever korban. But if you can use a lottery, like in our case by the Seer LaZazel and the Seer LaShem, so certainly you would have thought that you can use your voice, right? You can just say, this is this, this is this. It's Tam Alomar. Therefore, the Pasuk says, Vesa'o Chatas. Right? The Pasuk says that the lottery makes it into a Korban Chatas. Hagoral Ose Chatas, Vein Hashem Ose Chatas. Right? So that you need that Pasuk because you might have thought that logically you can use your mouth, you can use your verbal designation, and that would work. So the Gemara says, one second. V'ha'acha, lav, the lav shas l'kicha, v'lav shas l'siyahi. Wait, one second. When are we doing this lottery? Right? It's not when we first take the goats. It's not when we do the korban that comes afterwards, right? That's in, it's in the middle, right? Vekatani dekava, but we see that the lottery works. So, meaning not the lottery, but we see that the kriyas Hashem, the designation using your verbal designation, nahavamina. I mean, we thought that that would work. Therefore, you need a pasuk. So I don't understand. Rav Chista says that only b'shas l'kicha or b'shas asiya, that only when you are designating it or when you are giving it to the kohen, that's the only time you can verbally designate it as a korban. Here, it's in between the buying or the bringing of the korban to the Beis HaMikdash and the offering of the korban to the Beis HaMikdash. And you're telling me that you might have thought that verbal designation works in this time in between the l'kicha and the asiya. So what's going on over here? Why? How can Rav Chista say it's only a verbal designation by the lekicha or the asiya, not any time in between? So Gemara says, "Amar Rav." Rav says, "How can Gemara? No. This is what the Braisa meant to say. What's the logic? What's the kal v'chomer? What's the havamina that made us need this pasuk to teach me that it's only the lottery? The logic was." Ma'abamakam shalu kiddush hagoral afilu b'shas lekicha v'afilu b'shas asiya. Kiddush Hashem b'shas lekicha b'shas asiya. You have to just change the logic a little bit. Just like by the birds, where the lottery doesn't work, even if it's the time, Shas Lekicha, when you're buying the birds, or Shas Asiya, when you're doing the korban. So, Makam Shekidesh Gogoral Shalom Shas Lekicha, Velo Shas Asiya, and then Shekidesh Hashem. Shas Lekicha, Shas Asiya. You might have thought that, just like in a case where the lottery does not work by the birds, but Kriyas Hashem, either by the Lekicha or the Asiya, does work. In a case where the lottery does work, you might have, by the lekicha or the asiya, you might have thought for sure, right, that the kriyas Hashem works as well. So Tam Alomar, Ve'aso Chatas Hagoral Osechatas Ve'in Hashem Osechatas. So simply we just switch the logic a little bit to say that we're revolving around, the logic revolves around Shas Asiya and Shas Lekicha, right, and then the Havamina, the implication is not that it works in between, it's that it works even or either at Shas Lekicha or Shas Asiya. Okay, Toshma, let's bring another proof against Rav Chista. Again, Rav Chista said that the designation of whatever the korban is can either be only at Shas Asiya or Shas Lekicha. Now, just by the way, if you're wondering, Rav Chista quotes the pasuk by Shtei Sorim, right? And the Gemara obviously assumes that that applies to other korbanos, right? We're assuming that this applies across the board, right? Obviously, the Sir Mashtaleach and the Sir Lashem, right, that's not the what the psukim are talking about that Rav Chista learns from, right? Again, as Rav Shimi Bar Rav Shimi Bar Ashi learns, but obviously we're implying that it would apply across the board by all korbanos. That's why we bring questions from across the spectrum. But okay, either way, again, Rav Chista says that only b'shas l'kicha, only b'shas l'siyah, that's when you can designate a korban. Toshma, I'll bring you a proof against that. Metame mikdash ani. If a poor person is metame in the mikdash. Now, what does that mean, right? Obviously, you can't go into the Beis HaMikdash when you're Tameh. So the korban that you would bring for going into the Mikdash when you're Tameh, and for several other things, but let's just focus on our case, is something called a korban ole v'yored, which literally means a korban that goes up and a korban that goes down. Now, that does not mean that you pick it up and down on the Mizbech. It means it depends on how much a person is worth. If he can afford a normal animal as a chatas, he brings a normal animal. If he can afford only a couple of birds, he brings a couple of birds. And if he's really poor and he can only afford flour, so then he brings a korban mincha. So basically, that's our scenario, where someone is metame mikdash ani, he comes into the Beis HaMikdash, he's poor, and he realizes he's tame. Yikes. Now what happens? V'hifrish maos lekino. And he is the middle level, right? He can afford the birds. And he sets aside money for his pair of birds. And then, Baruch Hashem v'heshir, he becomes more wealthy. And then, obviously, now he's supposed to bring a single animal. Now, a detail that is important, that if you're wealthy, a korban ole v'yored is one animal as a chatas. If you were poor, i.e. the middle level, as this guy was, you bring two birds, one, again, one is a chatas, one is an ola. So what do you do? Right? Again, that's important to keep in mind. So he separates money for his kan, for his pair of birds. Ve'ashir, he becomes more wealthy. Ve'achakach, amar, and then he says, Eilu l'chatas ve'eilu l'olasu. And then he says, this bird is for l'chatas, this bird is for the ola. Okay, so what does he do in that case? Because now, really, he shouldn't bring that korban. He should bring a more expensive korban, a single, let's say, sheep as a chatas. So Gemara says, "Mosif umevi chovaso midmei chataso." He should add on to the money he separated, right? Again, he separated money, and then bring his obligation from the money that was set aside for the chatas. Let's say maybe the birds were $5 each, and the chatas is $100. So then, right, add $95 to the chatas money. But you can't use the other $5 that you set aside for the bird for the korban ola. That doesn't transfer. Okay? So you set aside $5 each. One was for the chatas, one was for the ola. What does he do when he gets a windfall? He's now more wealthy. So he adds on, let's say, $95 to the chatas money, but the $5 for the ola money that he can't use. So Gemara says, 1 second. So why is that designation of the money considered legitimate? Right? It's neither the time when you took the birds or when you did the korban of the birds. That's beforehand. You're separating the money. Why does the designation take effect? Right? If you're telling me that you can only designate something at Shas Lekich or Shas Asiyah, that's beforehand. If a katani de kava, but our price says that it does. It does. That money acquires the designation of chatas and ola. So Rav Sheshes says, right, you're right. Ein achinami. That the Brisa is misquoted. V'tizra, does it really make sense that is how the Brisa should be said? Right? Right? If someone goes into the Beis HaMikdash, Tame, and he's rich, and he says, you know, he's miserly, he's like, I don't want to spend $100 on a cow, obviously, or a sheep, or whatever. Obviously, I would imagine it's more than that, but let's just use that. Again, that's our numbers. So, I don't want to spend $100. I want to spend $5 on each, on the birds, right? One, five, on one, five. So, he brings a korban ani. So, lo yatsa, that's no good. That doesn't work. Right? V'cheva de lo yatsa, hechi kava. Right, again, it doesn't work. If you're rich, and you set aside money for a poor person's korban, so that poor person's korban does not help you. You can bring those birds, but you still need to bring a regular korban. So, how in the world did this guy set aside money for a korban of two birds of kinim, if he was supposed to bring a normal korban chatas? So Gemara says, "Alamai izlachamimar." What do you got to say? No, the case is shekvar amar me anyaso. He already said when he was still poor and that's when he set aside money for the chatas and ola, and that was already b'shas lekicha. So therefore, hachinami says so too over here. When you say that by Rav Chisda, shekvar amar b'shas hafrasha, he already said when he set aside the money for the chatas and ola, right? So that's already b'shas lekicha. And then there's no stira whatsoever. Again, it must be that he already set aside the money when he was still poor. Not that he became wealthy, right? If you remember the language of the Brisa, right? Heshir v'achakach amar. He became wealthy and then he set aside the money. So Rosh Hashanah says, no. It must be that he set aside the money and then he became wealthy. So that's why it was legitimate. So Gemara says, okay, fine, 1 second. That all works according to one opinion. That we said that if a rich person brings a poor person's korban, he's no good. But the Rabbi Chava Bar Oshia Damar Yotza, but according to Rabbi Chago, says the name of Rabbi Yoshio, who said that he actually is Yotze, if a rich person brings a poor person's korban, Michael Amar. Right, what are you going to say? Right, this is not Shas Lechicha, this is not Shas Asiya, meaning leave the Brisa as is, according to Rabbi Chaga, because that korban is still legit. So when he separated the $5 each, right, that acquires the designation, but that's pre-acquiring of the birds. So therefore, the Gemara says, "Lo tema v'achakach amar ela imar v'achakach lo chak v'amar." So no. So just amend the Brisa again to say that afterwards he took the money, or he bought the birds. Rather, he bought the birds with the money, and therefore it was shas lekicha. So therefore, that's when he designated the money, and that's why it was valid. So the Gemara says, "Well, that doesn't work. Lo kach. What are you? You're telling me." Most of you maybe chavasu my new. Right? Meaning how does that work? Meaning the Brisa had said, but you can't tell me that the case in the Brisa is where he bought the birds already. You know, shas lekicha. Because what did he do afterwards? We said if he set aside $5 for each bird, so just add on $95 and buy the $100 cow. Well, if he bought the bird already, where are you adding? You don't add. How do you add $5 to the money set aside? So it says, depart clay. When you tell me that you then like give back the bird, you redeem it? The bird is already kadosh, the bird is already holy, it's already set aside for a korban. You can't redeem a bird that's going to be used as a korban. As Rashi says, that's Gemara Menachos, right? That you can, there are certain things that you can't redeem. Something that's already kadosh, right? Rashi says birds and etzim and ketores, right? You can't levona ketores, yeah. So that you can't redeem them, right? So that you can't be poda them. So how does that work? How do you get your money back if you already bought the birds? That explanation doesn't make any sense. So Rav Papa, Rav Papa says kigosh halachach pray the achas. Now the case is he bought one bird, right? Eol, and what the brisa means is as follows: Eola. If you're telling me that if the bird that he bought is an ola. And then again, he has $5 left to buy the chatas. So then zovan, eola zovan. If he bought a bird for an ola, then mosu for maybe chavasu maybe chasal. So then he has again, he bought the bird for the ola. He has $5. He's about to buy a bird for the chatas. So or he was planning on buying the bird for the chatas. So now just don't buy a bird, right? Add up $95 and buy a proper chatas, and then you're good. And then the bird that you bought, v'hai ola az l'nadava, then you can bring the bird as a voluntary korban, then you don't have to, and that's fine. But ichatas zavan, if you already bought the bird for a chatas, so then ain mosif or maybe chavasu midvei ola, so then you can't use the $5 that you had set aside to buy the ola for the chatas. So what do? You have to pay $100 straight up for an animal. If I chatas azal lamisa, and the bird you bought for a korban chatas, right? So that azal lamisa, that has to die, right? You can't bring a chatas stam, right? A chatas has to go for some sort of chiyuv, right? An ola can be brought, you know, just because you feel like it. So if you have an ola that you don't have any specific obligation, you can just bring an ola to the Beis HaMikdash. That's fine. But and that's a korban nedava. That's a voluntary korban. But a chatas has to come for a reason. If you're bringing another chatas for the sin that you committed for going to Beis HaMikdash when you're tamei, and you have this chatas that's hanging around, so that's no good. So then the animal has to just pass away. Just leave it until it dies. Okay, gufa, again, you don't have to, you know, stab it in the face, right? You just leave it until it dies, and then that's, okay. Gufa, let's go back to something that we just said. And again, Rabbi Elazar, Amar Rabbi Vashaya, Metami Mikdash Asher, Vehevi Korban Ani, right? Lo Yatza. Rabbi Chagav, Amar Rabbi Oshia, Yatza. The machlokas is, if a rich person brings a poor person's korban, again, you have a korban ola v'yored, if you go to the Beis HaMikdash when you're Tameh, if you're wealthy, you bring a chatas for a regular, normal sheep. If you're poor, you bring two birds, and if you're really poor, you bring a korban mincha. So it says, machlokas, whether if a rich man brings a poor man's korban, so whether he's Yotze or not, right, and Mandi Amar's Rabbi Chaga says yes, he's Yotze, and Rabbi Lozer says name Rabbi Hoshe that you're not. Remeis, I ask you a question. One second. Mitzora ani shehevi korban asher. If a mitzora ani, a poor mitzora that brings a rich man's korban. Again, if we said by the case of a mitzora who's poor brings two birds as part of his purification process. So if he brings a rich man's korban, meaning let's say he brings a chatos, so then he's Yotze. Asher shehevi korban ani lo Yotze. But the flip side is no true. It's not true. So that's against Rabbi Chaga. Right? Again, if you're telling me that a rich person brings a poor man's korban, it's not Yotze, why but by the Mitzora would you be not Yotze? And over here, right, we said by Tukinim, right, by the case of Kinim, by Korban Olav Yored, right, according to Rabbi Chaga, you are Yotze. So what's going on? So Gemara says, Shani Hasam Dechtiv Zos. No, Mitzora is different because it says Zos Torah Sam Mitzora. So Gemara says, Yachin Reishan Ami. Rabbi Rahmanat, so what about the first case? So then meaning if you tell me Zos that the korban of the Mitzorah has to be specific, so then you're locked into your tears. So then why, if that's true, Rishonami, why is it true that if a poor man brought a rich man's korban, that it should be fine? So Gemara says, okay, because we have another pasuk, HaRabbi Torah, HaRachmanat Toras, that the word Toras includes that there is a halacha that you're allowed to, the poor man is allowed to bring the rich man's korban. V'atanya, we learned in Rabbeisa, this is not a stira. Rashi says, this has been a chusa. Toras, the pasuk says, Toras, l'rabos mitzora anish hevi korban usher, that includes a poor person who's a mitzora, who brings a rich person's korban, that is yotze, yachal afilo usher shevi korban ani, you might have thought that the flip side is true, tamal lomer, therefore, the pasuk says, zos, that does not work if you're rich to bring a poor man's korban. The Gemara says, v'nei lef minei, so okay, so let's learn from the case of mitzora to other cases. Right, by the korban olav yored. So why does Rabbi Chagas say that he's yotze if a rich man brings a poor man's korban by the korban olav yored? So Gemara says, yeah, v'miyit rachmana v'imdalhu. This is another pasuk that says by the mitzora that if he is poor, meaning that this halacha is specifically by the case of mitzora, and you cannot apply it anywhere else. Okay, new mishnah vayter in the avoda of the Yom Kippur. So now again, after you do the lots, after we figure out which goat is which. So kasher lashon shel zahoris barosh sa'ir ha-mishtaleach, right, he takes a red wool, piece of red wool and ties it around the horns of or the I guess the head, but it really means the probably means the horns, I would imagine. Where else you're tying it, right? Not around his eyes. So he's ready to tie it around the Sir Meshtalech, the one who's getting sent to Lazazel. Ve'emidu keneged beis shilucho, and you stand it towards the right the place where it's going to get sent out. Ve'lenishchan, the one that's being shechted, keneged beis shchitoso, right? You kind of stand that one towards where it's going to get shechted. Balo etzel paro shnia, right? The Kohen Gadol then goes to the second par, to the second right, the second ox that he shechts. And Somech Yadav, Shtei Yadav Alav, Misvada, right? He does smicha, he leans on it, he does vidui, v'kachaya, omer, this is what he says, Ano Hashem, v'chatazi vidi, mishadev v'necha, ani l'beisi, v'nei Aaron, am kojecha, right? Ano Hashem, kaper na lavanos, l'a pshayim, v'la chatayim, sh'avizi, sh'pashadev, sh'chatazi, l'vanecha, ani l'beisi, v'nei Aaron, am kroshecha, like hakasum, l'saras moshe avdecha, right? Kiba yom hazeh, yichaper, alechem natar, yichem nikol, chatas, yichem lefnei Hashem, titaru, right? He says the whole vidui, right? Like very similar to what we said before, right? V'hin onin achrov, boruch shem kivom ha'chuzul olam bo'ed, and sure enough, everybody there, and they hear the Shem Hashem, right? It says, boruch shem kivom ha'chuzul olam bo'ed. Right, again, very very famous, well-known Yishai Ribo song, right? Baruch Hashem, very beautiful and moving. If you haven't heard it, so very kedai too. It's called Seder HaVoda, right? It's very, very beautiful. Very mod meragesh, as they say in Hebrew. Anyway, so this is the right. He does the right, after he ties the wool on the Seir Mishtalach, he does the vidui by the second part. So the Gemara says, "Yibay lehuv lenishchad akshira koyt or amida koyt." Right, when we said to the second wool, right, again, if the Mishnah said, right, "Velanishchad keneged beit shchitaso," right, it doesn't say really anything specific to do. It says, well, first it says that you tie a string around the Seir Mishtalach, the one that's getting sent out. You stand it opposite the place where it's going to get sent out, and then it says to the one that's being shechted next to the place where it's being shechted. So they ask, does that mean that you should stand it there or tie red wool on it, right? Because there are two things that you're doing to the seer mashalech. Which one of those is done to the seer that's going to get shechted, the goat that's going to get shechted? So it says Tashma, bring your proof. Tani Rav Yosef kasher lashon shel zahoris barosh seer mashalech. And he tied a red wool around the head of the seer, of the goat that's going to get sent out. And right? And you stand it towards the place where it's going to leave. And to the one who's shechted, right? So again, that's like our Mishnah. You stand it near the place where it's going to get shechted. And this, here we elaborate, this price of Rav Yosef elaborates a little bit. So they shouldn't get confused with each other, and they shouldn't get confused with others. Meaning there were other goats in the Beis HaMikdash. They're part of the Korban Musaf. It had some goats. So there were other goats hanging around, and we don't want to get them confused. So the reason we did that is to tie the red wool and to stand them in different places, right, so they don't get confused. So if you tell me that's why you're tying the red string around the head and all around both of them, right, so that makes sense. That's why we don't want to get them confused. But if you tell me the thing you do to the seer that's getting shechted is standing it near what's going to get shechted, right? He's not going to get confused between the seer mishtalech and the seer l'shem, but for the other goats that stand to be shechted, right? You could confuse them. Right, if you only have red wool around one of them, so you're not going to get confused between the Seir Lashem and the Seir Mishtalech. But once you have the Seir Lashem near the Mizbeach, right, faced the place where it's going to get shechted, where there are other goats around there, so maybe it'd get confused with those. So apparently we see that you also tie a red string around the goat that's going to be shechted. Rabbi Yitzchak says, I heard about two different red wool strings, akas shel parah v'akas shel seir mashalech, one that belongs to the cow, the ox, and one that belongs to the goat that's getting sent out. Now, parah here is not the cow that is being offered, or the ox that's being offered by the Kohen Gadol. This is a totally different context. This is the parah aduma. Right? Part of the parah aduma, right, you have to take, right? The pasuk says, v'lakach ha-kohen eitz erez ve'izov v'shnisolas. Two types of, of shrubbery. Eitz erez is a cedar wood. Ve'izov is like, I think they're translated like a hyssop or whatever. I don't know what that looks like, but I think it's a smaller plant, if I'm not mistaken. And then v'shni talas, and a string of red, right, a red wool. So Rav Yitzchak says there are two types of red wool strings by different avodas. One is by the parah duma, and one is by the seir mishtalech. Achas tzricha shir, v'achas einat tzricha shir. One of them has a minimum size, a minimum shir, and one of them doesn't. But I'm not sure which one is which. right, which one requires and which one doesn't. So Amar Rav Yosef, Nechzi Anan. Let's see. El Sir Shel Sir Mishtalech, Dabay Chaluka, Boy Shir. Right, let's see, because it makes more sense to say that Sir Mishtalech, the goat that's getting sent out, which needs to be cut in half, right, that apparently that must be the one that needs a shear. It needs to be a minimum size. What do you mean cut in half? Because when the goat gets to the edge, right, you the guy who would take it out doesn't even need to be a kohen, if I'm not mistaken. It's just a regular guy, but often it was a kohen. Right? So they would you would cut it in half, and he would take right. They would take the string that was tied around the goat's horns, and he would cut it in half, and he would tie some of it to the rocks around where he chucked the goat off the cliff. Right, and then after the goat fell to its death, so if they would look at that red wool and see if it turned white. So mistama, right, you need a decent amount of size of wool, right, to cut it in half. Right, you need a decent size if you're going to chop it in half. So it must be that that's the one that requires a shear. Apparently, right, again, by the part of Duma, there's no such thing as cutting it in half. It's kind of, you don't need any extra. So apparently that one didn't have a shear. The Gemara says, one second, ask you a question. Asked the following question. The paranami boy COVID, one second. The paraduma that also needs weight. It needs to be heavy. As we'll see in a second, you would burn the ezov and the erez and the shnitzalas, all those things that we just mentioned, right? The two types of shrubbery, the two types of right, the tree and the low bush and the red string. You have to burn them inside with the fire. And as we're going to see in a second, it needs to go into the fire. It can't just like hover on top of it. Some other of it. So apparently you do need some substance there and of the wall, because otherwise if it was minimum shear, it would just burn up right away. Some other of COVID tonight. It's actually machlokes tanaim, whether you require the wool to be heavy. So then, obviously, according to the one who says that it's not heavy, right, so it doesn't require a shear. Udepara, the loboy chaluka, and the Gemara says, one second, and do you not really, not the cow, really, the paraduma does not need to be torn, meaning broken into two parts. Ask a question. What do you do with the? How do you offer? How do you burn these items with the paraduma? Right, you tie them together, right, with the leftovers of the red wool. Right, so apparently, you see, if you have leftovers, that implies, right, that you had something else. Right, that implies this is a minimum shear. Right, you can't have leftovers if there's no minimum shear. So Gemara says, must be, ema v'zanav lashon. It must be, no, that really, it was literally the tail, but meaning like just the little tufts, the ends of the wall. Didn't necessarily mean that you chopped it in half and you had some leftovers. Okay. So Amar Rabbi Chanan, now just to talk about what we just mentioned, in terms of the COVID, the heaviness of the lashon, whether you need the red wool to burn mamish inside the fire of the paraduma or not. Amar Rav Chanan, Amar Rav, eight erez of shnitzel las shiklatan shall heves ksher. That if these three things, that the eight erez and the ezov and the shitolas, shalikotan, if they were burned by the fire, by the flame itself, and it didn't go, meaning you threw it into the fire, it got burned up at the top of the flame, right? Again, if it's very light, if it got burned on the top of the flame, didn't go all the way down into the fire, into the embers, right? Into mamish, the cow being burned itself, still ksheira, that's still fine. So, versus Mesme, one second, I'll ask you a question. Is hav aloshon? If the red strip of wool got singed, got burned, i.e., like midair, maybe lashon acher mekadesh, you need to bring another one. So apparently you see that's no good. So Rabbi Elokasha kan mekolachas kan benichfeves. No, it depends. Again, the brisa, it depends on where it got burned. In the brisa, right? It depends on how big the flame is. If the fire is kolachas, if the fire is rising, if it's a really high flame and it got burned, like, let's say, I don't know, 20 feet above where the thing is being burned, so that's no good, right? That didn't get burned inside the fire. But nechfeves, but if it's a low fire, fire is not burning so high, but it's very low, so therefore, even if it burned, let's say, a couple inches above the cow that you're burning, so then that's still considered to be inside the fire, and that's totally fine.
So Rava says no. That kovei tanai. That actually the weather, the shnei tolas and the lashon, the wool, the red string that you're burning with the paraduma needs it, whether that needs to be burned inside the fire mamish, whether it needs to be heavy, quote unquote. So that is tanai. That's the machlokes tanai, like we quoted before. The tanai has learned the raisa lama korchan. Why do you tie them together? Kadesh you kulan baguda achas. That they should all be together, right? They should all be one aguda, right? They should all be one. Units, so to say, when you throw it into the fire, divrei Rebbe, it's a Rebbe says they need to be burned together. Rebbe Elazar, Rebbe Shimon, where no, kadesh yehei b'hem kovid, where there needs to be a certain weight, v'yiplu l'toch shrifa zapara, and then they fall into the actual burning of the cow of that you're burning. So that's again, that's the difference between the two brises that we quoted. That again, if you're allowed to burn it, if it, the brise that says you're allowed to burn it all the way on top says. Holds that they just need to be together. They don't actually have to be heavy. Right? According to the Brisa, says it has to fall into actually the where the part is burning. So that's like Rabbi Lazar, Rabbi Shimon, that says that there needs to be some sort of weight to the wool and the other items that it's burned with. Okay, Shkolei Kol Rabbi Sevi, we'll be right here tomorrow. Have a great day or night, depending on where you're listening to this.